From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. So the Super Bowl was last week. It was fun, but we feel let down. And what's the solution when you run out of sports? How about more sports? Instead of paying attention to the news, we spent the week lolling around on the couch in a beer and Cheetos-induced coma. So we thought we'd better devote today's show to conversations with some of our favorite athletes. We're public radio nerds. We love it when the jocks come hang out with us.
We'll begin with Pete Carroll, who coached the Seattle Seahawks to an unlikely playoff berth this year. Before that, he won two national championships with USC. We spoke to him in the summer of 2010. Joining us were panelists Mo Rocca, Charlie Pierce, and Kyrie O'Connor. And Peter started by asking him about his coaching philosophy.
One of your theories, one of your maxims is always compete.
And, central theme in the program.
Right. And it's obviously appropriate when you're coaching football at the college or professional level. Are there any places, any times when it's like maybe okay not to compete?
No. Well, not as, yeah, sure. That's what we hope the other guys are doing.
Right. One of the things you talk about is when you're dealing with your players, you tell these stories, you try not to be negative. You try not to be the coach who yells and screams at their players. And that's been successful, but isn't that part of like the coach sort of stereotype, the mean guy, the Bear Bryant who yells at the players or in one case hits them?
Well, it's all in the tone. It's how and when you do it. There's times to yell. I get excited and have fun as much as anybody. But most importantly is we're teachers, and what we transfer to them has got to help them learn. So if screaming is going to help them learn, then we'll scream. But for the most part, helping them know what they need to do next with the very next step they take is more important than just letting out a big old blurt and yell. So, but there's times now, I promise you, we get after them pretty good.
Really? So you're trying to make it positive. Like, hey, next time it'll be really great if you don't screw that up again, for example.
There you go.
You're starting.
That's close.
That's close. I'm getting there. All right. You were dealing with the elite athletes, both in college and in the NFL. These guys are either professional or going to be professionals, hoping to be professionals. These guys have been succeeding at a high level. What can you say, though, to make them give that extra mile? How can you get them? I mean, you could scare the hell out of me because I'm small and weak, but how do you get them
Here's the point. What you do, it's about the preparation during the week that gets you ready to play. And when you have guys that have put in their work, they've done their studying, the idea is to get them to feel that they don't have to worry about what's going to happen. They've been so well prepared. So when it gets to game time, you're just trying to keep their emotions going so that when they get on the field, they're at their very best. It really isn't the last words you say. It's more the release that you give them to freely play because they're so prepared. They're so jacked up. These guys love to play. They don't need to be kicked in the butt in the way you're talking about with a speech. They need to be prepared really well so that they're so excited to play, they go out there and play the game like they're capable. Now, that's what's really important. The worst thing you can do is tell somebody that they got to play the best game of their life, and that you don't know how to ever control that. We want our guys to play like they're capable of playing longer than the other guys and outlast our opponents, and that's going to win a lot of games for you because you're not beating yourself when you do that.
Right. Now, you mentioned the players being jacked up. I remember, I have experience with football. I saw the movie musical Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, and there's a scene in the locker room where they're all getting ready, and they're just jubilant. I mean, they're singing, they're dancing, they're really excited, and they go out on the field, and I don't know what happens at that point, but is that sort of what it's like?
Singing and dancing.
That's much more like it.
Well, let him answer.
No, you have a much better feel than the other guy does.
Yeah, fine.
As Amos Alonzo Stagg once said to Pop Warner, it's all the show tunes, pal.
Yeah, I know.
Now, the players, do they still do that thing where they put the black stuff under their eyes?
Yeah, you know, I never knew what that was all about. I'm glad you brought that up.
Because, yeah, I always wondered because I mean, what do you put that on yourself, or do you get a friend to put it on for you, or is there like somebody on staff that's doing that, or?
It depends on the background of the guy.
Some of us bring our own.
That's right.
I've never understood. It's such a waste of time. Why don't they just tattoo a black square under each eye?
Well, as a matter of fact, they tape them on now. I don't get it at all.
They tape them on?
Yes. Yeah, with Bible verses and stuff.
Yeah,
well, I just
want to
say, I mean, can I say something about football?
You can say whatever
right.
you want, Mo.
That's what we're talking
he
about.
He likes
right?
you best. Okay. Go ahead. You can do no wrong when it comes to Coach P.
Well, I just want to say that the one day I spent in JV football, I was very daunted by the big, tall, blue thing that you had to run into. And it just just the words of Coach Fagan ring in my head that when I ran towards it, and I didn't hit it hard enough, and he said, "I'm not your mother, and that's not your sister."
Future Seahawk play-by-play man, Mo Rocca today.
Are you worried? You've handled a lot of pressure. You've been in the NFL before. You were at USC, which is a pretty high-pressure environment for a coach. Now you're going to Seattle. Well, the whole region is going to be pinning their hopes on you. They've been disappointed before. Are you worried about this? Are you worried about what might happen this time? Or how are you going to handle it if you are?
Bring an umbrella.
If I was worried about it, I wouldn't be doing this. I'm excited about the opportunity and looking forward to it, you know, and the challenges of it. This is the highest level of competition you can get, and the way they've supported, you know, our change in the coaching staff and the way we're going after this thing is really special and unique, so I'm really pumped up about it, and we're going to take it as far as we can take it.
And just to, on that note, when you moved to Seattle, did you rent or buy?
I learned a long time ago, rent first.
Yeah, I guess so. One of the things that's different in NFL than in college is in college you're obviously responsible to an alumni community and the owner, not the management of the university, the president, the athletic director. With football, you're generally responsible to one very rich guy who's gotten his own way his entire life.
You mean like Paul Allen, who started Microsoft?
For example, Paul Allen, who owns the Seahawks. You've dealt with other people, Robert Kraft, who owned the Patriots. Is there any strategy you need for dealing with extremely rich, powerful men?
Yeah, do whatever they say.
Yeah. Coach Pete Carroll, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
That was a great monkey shot with the 5-bar.
You are an acclaimed and successful football coach. You know everything there is to know about football, but change one letter, and then where are you? We're going to ask you 3 questions about foosball.
Foosball?
Foosball. Foosball. Foosball is the tabletop soccer game, you know, with the guys on the stick you turn.
It was my minor in college.
Was it really? Oh, yeah. All right. We're going to ask you 3 questions about that game. Get 2 right. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Calls for us on their voicemail. Carl, who is legendary coach Pete Carroll playing for?
Pete is playing for Braxton Emmy of Youngsville, North Carolina.
All right. You ready to play?
Right. Yeah, let's go, Braxton. Here we go.
All right. The game is called foosball, mostly here in the United States. Over in France, where some say the game was invented, it is called what? A, baby foot, B, conjoined soccer, or C, homme très petit avec les boules très petites, or tiny men with tiny balls?
That's D, Bob. Tiny men with tiny balls.
You're going to go with tiny men with tiny balls. You do spend time in locker rooms, I can tell. No, actually, it's baby foot, sadly, is what they call it. Baby foot, they call it in France. That's no problem. You still have 2 more chances to go, and I know you thrive in adversity. Hey. Now, here we go. Like any sport, foosball has its own slang. When somebody scores a cheap point against you, you're supposed to say what? You say, A, I hear birds, because birds go cheap, cheap. You say, B, you dinked my rod basket. Or you say, C, clapper trapper.
I'd say spin this.
Aha! Uh-huh. No, it's one of those.
I go C.
You're going to go see clapper trapper?
Clapper trapper.
Guys in frat houses all over America are yelling clapper trapper at each other? You think?
I don't know. I'm going with it.
You're
going
to go with clapper trapper. No, I'm afraid it's I hear birds. You say I hear birds.
No way.
Birds
no are cheap. Way.
It's kind of a passive-aggressive way to complain, but, you know, whatever. All right, you have one last question here. Let's see if you can get this right. There are all kinds of foosball tables available, including which of these? You can get one of these kinds of a foosball table. A one-to-one scale table in which the men on the rods are actual men. B, a FIFA-inspired version in which the little men can fake an injury by randomly detaching... from the rod at key moments, or see a, quote, hardcore version in which a goal results in a powerful electrical shock being sent to the opponent's hand.
I'm going with the flop, B.
You're
going
to go with the flop. Did they flop over? That would be great, but actually it's A, the one-to-one scale, real-life people. It's called human table football. It's a big inflatable field in which 10 people are strapped to poles and they try to kick the ball past each other. It's used as a corporate team-building event, Coach, in case you want it for one of your practices. That might be
wait,
great.
Wait, so real people are strapped to the bars?
Yeah, well, they're basically it's this huge thing. It's inflatable.
Can you spin them all the
way
around?
Exactly.
I think that would be great. It'd be good, but no, they can't move, I think, is the fun. And they have to just kick the ball where they can reach it.
Oh, jeez.
How does this differ from stuff Caligula used to do?
I don't know. Carl, how did Coach Pete Carroll do in our quiz?
This is one time the coach was not a winner, Peter. No correct answers.
Pete Carroll is the new coach of the Seattle Seahawks. His new book on his philosophy is called Win Forever. It's in bookstores now. Pete Carroll, thank you so much for playing with us.
Thanks, guys. That was a lot of fun.
Take care.